We're broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios.
Visit mte.com.
Middle Tennessee Electric.
Serving to make life better
since 1936.
Since 1936.
This is WGNS Action Line. Now your host, Scott Walker.
On the air with us this morning from the Agriculture Extension Service, we have Master Gardener Sue Alexander, and you guys are getting ready for a big event tomorrow.
Well, it's not necessarily just us. It is the new addition of having a winter market, and I am very excited.
I think it's cool.
I think it's great. I've always wanted to be able to continue to buy fresh produce and fun gifts and things like that all throughout the winter, and we've never had that before. Or actually, I have been told, I've only been around since 2023. I'm a newbie to Tennessee, but I've been told that they haven't tried this before. So I'm excited. Everybody come out and check it out. Get your fall and winter vegetables and start cooking.
And I was going to say, there's different vegetables to choose from in the winter. So that's kind of cool.
Yes, there are. And a lot of times, even small growers like myself don't attempt those winter vegetables, but yet you'd like to have them available. And that's what the farmer's market's for.
Yeah, I've never tried a winter garden. I've done a summer garden, you know, but I've never done a winter garden. But Brussels sprouts, one of my favorites. You can do that.
Yes, you can start Brussels sprouts. And I'm going to talk a little bit later about something that's real easy that I want you to try. And you can do it. You can start it now. So,
but this winter farmer's market, it gets underway for the first time tomorrow morning.
Yes.
8 o'clock, right?
8 a.m. The hours for the summer market, I think, were 7 to 12, and mm-hmm. they're bumping it up a little bit. I don't know if just because of the cold weather or what their reasoning is, but it's 8 a.m. to noon. It's at the Lane Agri Park at 315 John Rice Boulevard.
So I think that's going to go over well.
I think it's going to be a huge success, and we need all those listeners out there to come to make it that success.
I wonder how many, you know, actual farmers out there have winter harvest. I mean, I don't know. I bet there's a lot.
I don't know what that number is either, but I would make the assumption that a regular local farmers that are, you know, producing in the spring and the summer, they still need the income for the winter too, so they've got to keep producing. And so getting creative, like those fun squashes that you can get in the winter, the spaghetti squash and the...
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I think the average person, I think they get in this routine of going to the grocery store or whatever. I don't think they think about farming these days.
They don't. They really don't. And I tried to pursue finding a winter market last year, and they had a little baby one off the square over at the Hammery, and I apologize, I don't know the name of that business, but they had a few people there, and it was nice to be able to pick up a couple things. But this is going to be a full-blown...
The real deal.
Yeah. Not to discount them. It was great that they had that available, and they may be doing that again this year, but I'm not aware of it.
But the cool thing about the farmer's market at the Lane Agri Park, no matter what time of year, their market, they always have local producers. They're from the Middle Tennessee area. That I know some of the extension agents go out and actually do site checks sometimes to make sure they're really growing what they're selling.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's nice to be able to know that you're getting local.
And I think it means something to be able to talk to the actual farmer who's raising whatever it is they're you know, selling, they're growing.
As a master gardener, I'm always curious as to, what are you doing? How are you keeping those worms off the corn? And what do you, you know, those types of things. It's always fun to talk to them.
Yeah. And I guess you can also ask questions like, you know, do you use pesticides? What do you use? Because people are concerned about that stuff, chemicals in general.
Very much so. Very much so.
But yeah, that's coming up tomorrow morning, and then it's going to be every Friday all the way up through April. So it's going to go on for a long time every Friday.
They are hoping for great success. And like I said, people got to show up.
That's right. That's right. You got to go out there. And anyway, on a different note, what types of things are people doing during this colder season?
Oh, that's a good question. Now is a great time for you to kind of, what they say, put your garden to bed. If you're a vegetable garden grower, now's a good time to take care of all of your spent plants that have, well, I'll say croaked, and to get the weeds out of your beds. If you have raised beds, clean them up, get them all nice and tidy, and then you've got a couple of options. You should probably add in some organic matter to that, meaning compost, or if you don't have compost, if you're not doing a compost pile, that's available at the store to buy. You don't have to add a whole lot, like a half-inch layer of compost, and then cover those beds with either leaves or even cardboard is good to try to save that soil from erosion during the winter time. So that's a good start for you. If you do have an irrigation system that you've set up, if you're sophisticated, and maybe that's not the right word, but if you, because I'm not sophisticated and I have irrigation, so that just messes that up.
Sounds like royalty, though, you know, to have irrigation.
I have irrigation. Anyway, if you have irrigation, you do want to blow that irrigation out. You can leave it on the ground, but you have to blow it out and you have to take off all of your mechanisms that operate it, and bring those indoors, and then you'll be set for the spring to reconnect everything. If you do still have some green plants, some people still have sweet potato vines. They haven't harvested their sweet potatoes yet. Now is a good time to do that if you planted them more than 120 days ago. But those vines make great mulch, and they make great. If you chop them up pretty fine, like run your lawn, pull out all your sweet potato vines, make a pile, run your lawnmower over it, chop it up real fine, and then you can turn it back into the soil, and it helps the nitrogen in the soil. And so that's a good way to utilize those greens that are left over. Some people may still have beans. Those are also a good one, provided they're not diseased or pest infested. If they are, you just need to trash those. Don't use them for your compost. Don't use them for your garden. Just, you don't want those things to come back in the spring, because pests and disease, they like to lay dormant over the winter and then come back in the spring. So you want to be sure you get rid of anything that's riddled with either one of those issues. So that's a good thing. And then finally, just, you know, making sure that you've got everything all nice and neat, and you want your soil to be able to be comfortable for the winter so that it can regenerate itself, so that in the spring you're ready to rock and roll.
Now, also with composting, I mean, that's something everybody can, even if you don't have a garden, I mean, you could compost. And,
yes, you can.
For anybody who has leaves and stuff like that, you can start there.
Leaves, if you have grasses, if you have even just simple kitchen waste, that's a good place to start. And they make cute little buckets that you can buy on Amazon and for indoor use if you wanted to start your own composting. And you can just start small. They make bins for composting for people that don't have a yard, or maybe they just don't have the space to, you know, a 3x3 space in the middle of their yard that they want to do composting. And there's lots of different fun classes on that and ways to do that. We have a great example of composting out at the Ag Park too. You could stop and talk to any one of the master gardeners about that. And it's kind of a fun project. It's kind of, you have to learn how to layer and work in your kitchen waste with your yard scraps, with a little extra brown material, as they call it. That's all those Amazon boxes that
there's a lot of those out there.
And if you can tear those up and add them in back into the soil, yeehaw! We were saving the planet, I guess.
You know, and here in Rutherford County, because our population is growing so fast, we're getting more and more condominiums, townhomes, things like that. But folks who have townhomes, most of them have little patios.
They do.
You can have a little mini garden.
You can. You can have a mini garden. And one of the things that I was going to suggest, we'll kind of jump ahead, but is that right now is a good time to, if you wanted to plant winter vegetables. And one of my favorite, easiest things to grow is garlic.
Garlic, really?
Yes. Garlic is a I like to call it the set it and forget it vegetable.
Yeah.
It's very easy to grow. You could grow them in pots if you want. Like you say, if you have a small little space and you want to grow, you know, five or six heads of garlic, or, you know, maybe you could probably get 10 in a good 20-inch pot.
Oh, cool.
You plant them about 4 inches apart, and all you do is you find it. I would suggest that if you're going to grow it, I'm pretty big on organic and no pesticides like you talked about earlier, but is go to the store. They sell organic garlic pretty much any store. You can find it at Walmart. And you tear apart the cloves just like you do if you were going to cook, except you leave that skin on that you normally would take off. And you plant that little clove about 3 to 4 inches deep and about 4 to 5 inches apart, and you put it in the ground now, cover it up, set it and forget it. In the spring, it'll start coming up, and by May, June, it's usually June or July, you're ready to harvest full heads of garlic.
Well, and the cool thing about garlic, there's so many recipes you can use it for. I mean, it's like endless.
It is endless. There's lots of fun things to do with garlic. You can make pickled garlic. You can on charcuterie trays and stuff. There's a good variety of things you can do with garlic. It's a good medicinal thing too.
So after it grows and comes in, I know people do different things with it, but can you let it dry, then grate it? And I mean, what all do you recommend?
First of all, you do have to let it cure, and that's just simply taking it out of the ground and letting it dry. You can leave it laying out in the sun for a few days, and then I usually hang mine in my garage or in a dark place, and they'll keep for 6 or 8 months, depending upon where you keep them. And once you're ready to use them, there is a large variety. There's lots of different ways you can. Some people have dehydrators, and they'll dehydrate the garlic, and then they'll crush it, or they'll spin it through a spice grinder, and so they'll have their own dried garlic. You can freeze it and save it for cooking, but it's when you freeze it, it's kind of like onions. They keep them a mushy consistency. So if you freeze them, it's for using in soups and stews and things like that. You wouldn't want to use it as a fresh garlic in a grated garlic in something that you're cooking. But anyway, there's lots of things to do with garlic.
But fresh garlic in one of your own recipes, I mean, that's a cool thing to do.
It's really good. And I found that I love growing my own garlic because it tends to peel easier, and it's just a fun, it's a fun little trial. I suggest that anybody try it. Even if you have a big bed and you just want to see if you can make it work, start it in a pot. Make that happen. Be sure that the pot is kind of insulated if it's outdoors, because you don't want the soil in there to freeze hard and then melt, because garlic doesn't like what they call wet feet. It doesn't like to be wet and soggy. It'll just rot. You won't end up with any cloves.
Huh. And then carrots. That's another thing.
Carrots are, sprinkle them on the ground, cover them to begin with. If you're going to do it this weekend, sprinkle your little carrot seeds on the ground, cover it with a piece of cardboard, weight it down, and then check it in about 3 or 4 days, and then in a week. And once you start seeing little sprouts come up, then you can take the cardboard off. The cardboard kind of just protects the seeds, because when you're planting carrots, it's right on the topsoil. It's not, you don't bury the carrot seeds when you're planting carrots. So, and they will grow through the winter. They love cold weather. And actually, I've been told, like, if you had started your carrots in the middle of the summer and they were coming into their harvest time, that you should wait until it's really cool, because it makes them sweeter.
Now, can you tell, I mean, personally, can you tell a difference between like homegrown carrots or even locally produced, you know, locally grown carrots at a farm? Can you tell the difference between those and the ones you buy at the supermarket?
Oh, my goodness.
You really can?
That's a loaded question. Well, yes, of course you can. And I feel like that's the same way with tomatoes. Have you ever eaten a homegrown tomato versus one that you buy in the store?
Yeah, huge difference.
Side by side, we do the Pepsi Coke challenge thing, and I guarantee you, homegrown always wins.
Yeah, there's a huge difference in that for sure. Apples are the same way. I don't know if you've noticed this, but if you've bought any kind of vegetable or fruit at the grocery store in the past 10 years even, they taste different to me than what they used to taste like.
This is true. And it
more blah, more plain tasting.
It just has to do with mass quantities and people, you know, it's like everything in the world. We're moving faster. We want to get it done quicker. Let's take our time.
It's like the Amazon way. Yeah. Everybody wants it right then, right there.
Right now.
But yeah, with tomatoes for sure. Gosh, you can tell a massive difference.
You can. You can. And there will, and I'm guessing, this is my guess. This is me speculating that some of the farmers that will be at the winter market, they have greenhouses and they may be growing those type of vegetables in their greenhouse until it gets really frigid.
Yeah.
And so we may still see some fresh tomatoes into, you know, December. I don't know.
I've got
my fingers crossed because I love me a good tomato mozzarella salad.
Yeah, that sounds good. Then you could add some garlic to it too. Yeah,
absolutely.
You do it all. So now, what part of the country did you move from? Because you said you've been a master gardener here since what year?
23.
Okay, so where were you before that?
I was in the northern part of Atlanta.
Okay, so is there a difference with growing stuff? I mean, that's, you know, not...
It's not too far away.
There's seasons like ours.
The seasons are very similar, and yet they are different. And I think the biggest difference that people would find in moving from one locale to another is that there are huge soil differences, and there's different rock faces. And like, I currently am residing in Walter Hill up further.
There's a
north.
Lot of rock out there.
There is a lot of rock. And so you just have to find your holes.
Yeah.
And, or you need to find plants that like growing around rocks. For example, I was going to talk about perennial beds next, but the Tennesseeansis coneflower is one of the most popular flowers now because it was almost extinct, and then it was brought back to life. They found a big patch up there near the Cedars of Lebanon, and it has renewed itself, and it loves growing in between rocks. Its roots just kind of weave their way around rock faces, and there's lots of plants that are like that, and you can find a lot of that information on the UT Hort website. And it's a great avenue to try and find something new and exciting to do if you don't know exactly. That's one of the reasons that I went through the Master Gardener class, is because I had an interest. I wasn't a big gardener when I was in Atlanta, but when I moved here, I had some more space available to me. And I thought, well, I need to learn how to do this the right way. And so that's why I took the class.
And Cedars of Lebanon's a cool place because of all the rock and the fact that you have all these trees growing on and in between rocks.
Absolutely.
Everywhere.
It's very fascinating, and it's a great education. If you've not been there, I would suggest that you go. And the Sadie Ford Park that's right across the way, they're working on lots of fun stuff at that little park there, that farm.
Yeah.
And so there's lots of fun things in and around Rutherford County that are great learning experiences. And speaking of the Master Gardeners class, we are taking applications now for our January 27th class that starts January 27th. It's a 14-week program. It's on Tuesdays from 9 to 12. And you just need to go to the Rutherford, blah, 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 blah. It's a long website. Okay, everybody, here we go. It's rutherford.tennessee.edu and then / Master Gardener Program. and there's dashes in between the Master Gardener program. But if I think if you could just get to the main website, you could find the application and do a search. But that website, rutherford.tennessee.edu, is where you could find the application. Just fill out the application, and you can email it to our current extension agent, who is Bailey Snow. She is new to us this year. We're excited about welcoming her. And that application gets reviewed, and then if you're interested, you pay the course fee, and you get to keep all of the course material, which is great because it's great reference to go back, because I have this big old book from when I went through class, and sometimes I'll go, now what was that soil science info? Or, and I'm not a big lawn and I'm not a big lawn grass person, so when I need that information, I go back to the book.
You know, it's a cool accomplishment too. I mean, because you're able to look back and say, I did that. You know, that's kind of cool.
It's fun. I ran into somebody the other day, and I mentioned, I said, I'm a master gardener, and I was working at the ag park, and they said, master gardener, is that something you just say you are, or is that a certification? I said, oh, no, I went through a class. I had to sit through long classes and learn a lot, and then there's a test at the end, so it's like,
And there's volunteering, too, that takes place with it.
There is a volunteer component, because technically, the master gardeners in every county are an extension of the extension service. We are the volunteers that help make that extension work. And we're there to help in the community and with all the programs that the extension runs. Our current extension here in Tennessee is run by the UT in Knoxville. And I think it's a great program. And it was originally started by a man in Washington State. Huh. And it was born out of the fact that the Extension Service is so inundated with phone calls and questions, they needed help. And so that's how the Master Gardeners were born.
I never knew that.
Mm. Well, that's fun facts cool. to know.
That's right. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be right back. And if you have any questions regarding maybe gardening or things like that, feel free to text those in. Our phone number, if you want to text it in, 615-893-1450. Again, text in any questions you have, 615-893-1450. And we're broadcasting out of the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios, and we're powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. And kick off the holiday season in downtown Murfreesboro with the annual Christmas tree lighting event powered by MTE. It's going to be on Friday, December 5th, starting at 6 p.m. So you can enjoy some caroling if you want to sing, or visit Santa, watch the tree light up, and of course, celebrate Christmas in downtown Murfreesboro, December 5th. The MTE Christmas Tree Lighting.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
This is the Recycled Minute, powered by RecycleRightTN.com. Hold on to your lids and labels, folks. Rocky the Raccoon's here with another clever way to make recycling fun for everyone.
Hey, y'all. Rocky the Raccoon here, and I'm thinking outside the bottle. Get it? Some say outside the box. Nope, I'm thinking outside the bottle. I'm on a kick here with these water bottles. You can use those used water bottles to make a clever watering can. You heat up a needle to poke tiny holes in the cap, then you fill the bottle with water and squeeze. Perfect for kids to water plants or rinse garden tools with. No fancy gadgets needed. I'll keep the ideas flowing with your recycled minute each day. In fact, I'm gonna go back to the thinking board. I'm Rocky the Raccoon. As always, get tips and ideas on what to recycle and how by visiting our website, RecycleRightTN.com.
Find the closest place to recycle near you by going to RecycleRightTN.com.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. Please come see us for all your fall gardening and home needs. We have everything you need to make that yard look beautiful, whether it be grass seed, fertilizer, or anything to decorate that yard. We have everything you need to make your lawn beautiful. The Co-op Farm and Home Center is located at 985 Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church. Weekend shoppers were open from 7 to 2 on Saturdays. And remember, you don't have to be a member to shop with us.
Hi, Murfreesboro. This is Amanda from Animal City. We're at 919 Northwest Broad Street. This is the time of year where we have lots of amazing adoptable cats and kittens. So if there is a furry feline companion in your future, come in and see us. We are so proud to be Murfreesboro's pet destination for 35 years. Animal City, we have lots of amazing adoptable cats and kittens. Animal City, 919 Northwest Broad Street, family owned and operated.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's restaurant. Demas's has had a bar when we opened 35 years ago. And we've done the exact same thing with our bar menu that we've done with our food menu. We get higher quality items, higher quality cocktails. Again, some people just want a drink with their meal, where they might be able to get a drink to complement their meals. You need to check it out, so come on over right now. Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street. We really focus on value.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
This morning we're talking about gardens and gardening and all that good stuff. And today, representing the Agriculture Extension Service and the Lane Agri Park here in Murfreesboro on John R. Rice Boulevard, we have Master Gardener Sue Alexander. And before that last break, and actually, during the break, we were talking about seeds and all that stuff. So is now the time to pick out your seeds? What you want to grow next?
You need to start thinking about it, yes. All of those seed companies, if you've purchased seeds before from a seed company, you will start getting inundated with catalogs before too long. I would say December, once you've put your garden to bed, I say December's a good time to start organizing and go through the seeds. If you are a seed collector and you've got a bunch, you might want to go through them and check the expiration dates and make sure that you've got viable seeds. And then making the decision of, if you're a seed hoarder like me, you have to make the decision, like, I've got all these seeds of things that I'm probably never going to grow again. Turn around and share those with others if they're still viable seeds. And one way to do that is the seed library at the Lineball Library. They offer a seed selection, and so you can provide them with your seeds, and then you can just go and pick them up, is what I'm understanding. I have not done that myself. I'm going to check that out this year, because seeds can get to be very expensive if you're into seeds. But organizing and preparing for the next year in December is a good time. It's cold, it's dark, you know, the days are shorter, all that good stuff. And take your time and go through your seeds, make your plan, say, okay, I'm not going to grow this next year, so let's get rid of those seeds. Clean that seed drawer or box or whatever you have your seeds in, clean that out, and start preparing for the next year. Make your plan, draw out what you want, or there's lots of programs out there for you to draw online and prepare and keep track of everything. I would suggest you just investigate that if you've got a hefty garden. If you're just a simple gardener, just checking your seeds and then figuring out what you'd like to grow. If you're in a townhome or whatever, figure out what kind of space you have. Can I put in a long flower box, or can I put in a big pot, or what can I do? And then organizing all that information, and that's a good time. That's just preparing yourself for the winter. If you are an indoor seed grower like myself, I need to clean up my space. I need to make sure all my lights are working and all the heat mats, if I use a heat mat, are working, and making sure those kinds of things are prepared. So when you start, because ultimately you can start seeds in December.
Yeah.
And some seeds take longer than others. You just need to look at the seed packets and look at the information and check it out online. And then from there, you just decide what you're going to start growing and when you want to start. That's an important thing, too, especially if you want to do what's called succession planting. So let's say you want to start 3 or 4 tomato plants at the end of January or first part of February, then 2 weeks later, you want to do another three or four plants so that you keep having that fruit or vegetable growing throughout the year. And so that's why they call it succession, because you're continually having more and more. The other thing that you can do in the wintertime is clean up your tools, all your hand tools. You know, those hand snippers that have kind of gone dull, you can clean them up and sharpen them and get them ready for the spring. Cleaning up all your necessary needs for the spring is important. And then those are kind of the things that during the what I would call the downtime, if you're not avidly growing something in the winter in your yard, then those are the kind of things that you can do indoors in the dark.
and I love the idea of the seed library. I read a little bit about it, and I think that started, it was either the 20s or the 40s that it first started, and it was started, I think, by the agriculture department or something. And I guess it kind of fell by the wayside, stopped getting funding, and then next thing you know, I've over the last 10 years, I've heard more about seed libraries and libraries.
Yes, there are more and more of them cropping up.
They're growing.
Yes, they are busy areas in the library, because people are interested in that. People want to grow, and more people are trying to teach their kids to grow things. And that's a good way to start. Go get some free seeds, get a pot that your kids can start something in and watch things grow. And right now you can grow indoors, like herbs and spices, basil, thyme, all of those fun herbs that you find a nice bright windowsill to put your little pots in and plant some seeds and teach your kids something new.
Yeah, have at it. Yeah. I know, I've got a little blurb here on the library, and it looks like they also have a seed library at the Tech Center, which is part of the Rutherford County Library System. But it says here, for Rutherford County residents out there, they need to know about library closures, and there's a temporary closure that's going to happen at Lime Ball. It's going to be, I guess, closed this week. But the reason doesn't have anything to do with staff shortages or anything like that. It says it's a planned tech transformation they're doing. And so the Rutherford County Library System, they announced the immediate closure of several locations, including Lime Ball, then the Smyrna Library, then the MGL Library, as part of a countywide technology upgrade they're doing. So they'll be closed for 1 week, then another one will close for a week, and then vice versa. So there
so
you have it.
So just check your closings before you head over to grab some seeds.
Yeah.
So it'll be a fun adventure for the whole family if you are going regularly. The Lime Ball Library also offers some classes the first Saturdays of each month, starting in the spring. Like the first one, I think, is in April or May, and they run through. We just finished our last one, Those classes are taught by master gardeners, and we call it the Lime Ball Library Series. And so each week we're teaching something new and different. So that's a fun thing to get involved in. So look for that next spring. That's a fun thing to think about. And the master gardeners, you know, you talked about volunteering, and we spend a lot of time doing things and working with different programs. And we have all kinds of fun stuff that'll be coming up in the beginning of next year. We teach a class that we also just finished in the fall that's called the basic garden, the basic, my brain's dead now.
Mine didn't work anyways.
It's called Garden Basics, not Basic Gardening. It's called Garden Basics. And those classes are also taught by the Master Gardeners of Rutherford County. And we've typically do that in the fall, but this year, this coming year in 26, we are anticipating having two classes, one in the spring before things get hot and one in the fall. So keep an eye out for that. You can just stay connected with the Rutherford County Extension Service that's on at the Lane Agripark. They produce a newsletter, which is you can also find on that website that I gave you earlier. If you missed it, it was...
Just Google it.
Google it. Google it. Extension Service Newsletter. And so that's another great way to find out information and upcoming classes. They teach classes with the Extension Service to other things besides gardening, sewing, 4-H information, all that good stuff. So that's a good way, good information portal. We do in conjunction with TEC, we do a tree day in March. So if you're thinking of putting in some trees, that's a good opportunity for you to get some trees started. And they are very inexpensive. They used to be free, but now they are charging for that. And I'm not sure what next year's charges are going to be, but it's minimal. It's like $3 or $4. It's not anything big. But those trees, they usually have a wide variety of trees, and it's a pretty fun event for us. It's a challenge. Last year we gave out over 1,000 trees.
I like the idea you mentioned about planning ahead, maybe sketch out your garden, mm-hmm. what you want planted and where. That's a good idea. And if you have enough land, I hear so many people these days talking about wanting to live off the grid and live off their own land. Well, you can kind of do that, even with a small garden.
Certainly you can. And you can, a lot of people are converting. They're tired of mowing their lawn.
Yeah.
And so find a patch in your yard and check what the lighting is there. Make sure you don't have too much shade, too much sun. Maybe you want it open in full sun. That's pretty much the best way to garden most vegetables is full sun. But if you wanted to create a patch in your yard, now's the time to start thinking about that and laying out those plans to say, you know, what can I do? And you can start as simple as they have a process that's called lasagna gardening, and some people like it and some people don't, but you just put cardboard down to kill off the grass, and then you start layering above that, find yourself
like,
some
like
compost
lasagna,
and, exactly layers and layers and layers, and then once you've got it layered up, then you can build a frame around it and make it a raised bed if you wanted, or
cool.
You could just leave it on the ground, and
yeah,
so those are lots of options, but planning ahead is very important.
And we're almost out of time. We're about to wrap up the show. But again, with us this morning, Sue Alexander, Master Gardener. And once more, the brand new thing that's starting first thing tomorrow, 8 o'clock, is going to be the Winter Farmers Market at Lane Agripark.
You'll see me there. You don't know what I look like, but you'll see me there.
So you may hear your voice.
Oh, look out. That's probably pretty recognizable. I'm always...
That's funny. Well, again, that's tomorrow's when that officially gets underway, and it'll be every Friday now all the way through April, the Winter Farmers Market at Lane Agripark on John R. Rice Boulevard. But again, with us this morning, Sue Alexander. And if anybody listening would like to learn more, just Google Lane Agripark or Google Agriculture Extension Service, Rutherford County.
Rutherford County Extension Service, yeah.
Should take you to the right place eventually.
you'll wind your way there.
One day, hours later.
No, hopefully no. Not too long.
Well, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Right now that time, 8:59. Stay with us. In just 1 minute, we'll have local news. And after that, we'll take another look at what's happening around the country with CBS Radio News. Again, you're listening to WGNS Murfreesboro, and once more news coming up next.